always produce death to self, so that then you can have real, true resurrection life, just like Jesus has and gives. The sword of the Spirit, when used by the Holy Spirit, will always produce death to self. Where your will crosses God's will, it's got to die on a cross. And when that happens, beloved, suddenly it will produce, the result of dying to self is resurrection life. The power from God supernaturally rises up in us, as verse 10 in Ephesians 6 said. But when Satan uses the word of God, he always uses it to produce death unto death, and he uses it to produce divisions.
What do you mean?
Walking through the kingdom of darkness, we don't like this place. This is not our home. God is going to destroy this place. Don't be like Lot's wife that looked back and longed for her possessions. Long for the kingdom to come to this planet. The kingdom is alive in us now because the king lives in us, and I am God's property, so I'm part of the kingdom. And here's the kingdom of God on earth, right here, right now. And through the new birth, he's already translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. But I'm not there. I'm here as an ambassador. Then he shows another group that there's going to be a thousand-year reign. And now here this one, but blinded them because of the hardness of their heart through their arrogance and pride that only we know spiritual truth. To this group over here that's got the kingdom here now. So here the church is divided. The kingdom is here and now, and baby, this is it. Eat, drink, and be merry. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the only kingdom you're ever going to get. There's never going to be a thousand-year reign. Nye, 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 nye. You dirty old thousand-year believers. And the thousand-year believers over here saying, you dirty non-Bible-believing dirty dogs. That's your brother and sister you're talking to, blood bought by Jesus. And Satan has blinded each to the other's truth, where the truth is both are true. In other words, hear me. There's a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light, and the kingdom of light, hear this, is both a literal, physical, earthly, temporal kingdom. That's going to be the thousand-year reign. And, but that's, in other words, kingdom of light, A. Kingdom of light, B. The kingdom is also an eternal kingdom that will go on forever, which you are already, by the new birth, a part of. You just aren't in that kingdom where you can see it yet. You see the kingdom of darkness. And we're in a war. God says we're here as ambassadors. You know what an ambassador is? He is a person representing another kingdom, another power. Let me tell you the exciting thing about us. We're in another kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, which really is a piece of the kingdom of light that just happens to have the light turned out. And so we are ambassadors of the of a more powerful kingdom.
Yeah.
That's why they better not treat us too bad. We'll tell our daddy. And you ever called on daddy for help when people were mistreating you? I learned that when I was a little boy. Daddy! You ever do that? Everything going wrong? You don't have to learn how to pray. You already know how. Help!
Amen.
You don't have to worry about the words. Dad understands. So you're ambassadors in this kingdom. I want you to see that. You saw your weapons here in Ephesians chapter 6. There's other weapons mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You're near that. Just read that with me. 2 Corinthians 10. You've got the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation. All these weapons here in Ephesians chapter 6. Nearly all of them are defensive weapons that are mentioned there, except the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we see some other weapons. And it describes our weapons. It says here in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Yeah, we're in the kingdom of darkness. We don't do our war this way. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. We're not going to shoot the Baptists with a gun. We're not going to shoot the Pentecostals and the Catholics with guns. That's what the Catholics tried to do to the Protestants. Kill them with guns and knives and swords. That isn't how God wants us to conquer. He said, well, golly, I thought Protestants killed them. I'm talking about the Inquisition when 68 million Protestants were put to death by torture. No wars. I'm not talking about wars. He said, well, Floyd, you shouldn't say that. I'm a Catholic and I feel terrible. Did you do that? Did you do it? Did you kill 68 million? Then why do you feel so bad? You shouldn't feel bad. They did that before you even born. Just don't go bragging anymore. Just don't go bragging. That'll take your pride away from you. Good. Now you can be part of the family. Instead of a group, instead of an organization that says, we're the only way to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying it for a reason. I'm hurting you for a reason. That group is trying to make you trust them and divide the body of Christ where your loyalty belongs to them and your fear is through them instead of loving God and being part of the family. And any Protestant in here that hates Catholics because 68 million Protestants were killed, I'm not even a Protestant. I'm other. See, I'm trying to teach y'all something. I'm not Protestant. I'm not Catholic. Label me other. I'm a member of the kingdom. I am a member of the family of God. I'm a member of the kingdom of light. I will not wear any other label.
Amen.
And I'm trying to make you ashamed to. I didn't say you couldn't go to the Baptist church and worship. Just don't ever call yourself a Baptist anymore. You're a member of the family of God. You belong to Jesus. You don't belong to the Baptist. Did the Baptist church die on the cross? If they did, you belong to them. If they didn't, you don't. Now, for you Baptists, I'm picking on y'all the most since I'm one, officially. And if I'll pick on us, then the rest of them ought to be able to handle it. And for you Catholics, my mother's a Roman Catholic. I understand. And do you understand I love Mama? Okay? She's heard me say this, too. No, she didn't like it too much either the first time. But it kind of wore on her. Listen to me. No prophet ever gave a message that the people wanted to hear or liked when he gave it. No Bible teacher teaching what God gave him to teach is popular when they say, but as you think about it, it'll wear on you. You'll come to your senses and you'll see how desperately we've got to stick together. Well, you better stick together. You're surrounded. Let me give you an example of this. I experienced this my own self in living in Europe. But I heard this, a similar story to what I experienced. And the story is shorter, more concise than my own. So I'll give you. I heard a little Argentine preacher. He was an Argentine and he was visiting over in Japan. And he said, you know, it was terrible. He said, I couldn't read anything. He said, at least, you know, when you go to some countries, they use an alphabet that looks like ours. He said, but man, I looked at their signs and I couldn't read anything. He says, they're so different from us. He said, here in America, we eat in public. You go to Japan and you go to a restaurant and sit down and they put a little bamboo curtain around you and you eat all by yourself in this little bitty place. But here in America, when we go to take a bath, we go into a room that's private, and when you go to Japan, they let all the public in. He said, now, I just wasn't adapting to this very good. And he said, you know, the language had him thrown and he couldn't find his way around and he'd ask people and, you know, they'd tell him 60 miles an hour in Japanese. And all of a sudden he was walking down the street and he saw a little woman that kind of looked like he looked. You know, Argentine kind of looked like Spanish American, you know, Mexicans to us, Spanish American people. And they speak the same language. And he looked at her and she looked at him and he said, are you? And she said, are you? And he says, yeah. And she was a missionary. And he was a Pentecostal preacher. And she was a Baptist missionary. But they didn't find that out at first. They were so thrilled to see someone that looked like them. And they hugged and embraced, you know. And very quickly, they found out that both of them, he said, well, what are you doing here? Are you on vacation? Oh, no, I live here. Oh, you live here? What do you do here? I'm a missionary. You're a missionary? Then you must know Jesus as your Savior. Yes, I know Jesus as my Savior. Do you love the Lord? I love the Lord. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. Praise the Lord. I'm a preacher, and I believe every word in the Bible. Oh, and they hugged and they embraced. And moreover, he was so thrilled because she knew the town. And she had been there so long, she knew the language. And he stuck to her. You know, if they had run into each other in Mexico or in Argentina, he'd have been a stinking Baptist. He would have been one of those demonic tongue speakers. He would have tried to put her down that she isn't saved till she speaks in tongues. She would have told him to stick it up his ear because she knew she was saved. The Spirit of God in her, in him, was bearing witness that he was born again. And they would have hated each other. Isn't that glorious? But you see, in a foreign land, they were so thrilled to find someone that spoke the language that was like them. You and I are in a foreign land, the kingdom of darkness. Our home is the kingdom of light. You ought to be so glad to find another brother or sister. You ain't got time to argue with them and to argue with them. And they didn't. They never did. They loved each other. Now, back over here in the States, back here in South and Central America, Argentines, they're the high class. They're the upper crust. When you see an old Fernando Lamas movie, you never see, or who's the guy? Ricardo Montalban. You'll never see either one of them ever play a Mexican. That's not high class enough. It's got to be an Argentine. Maybe Brazil. But never. Yeah. A Mexican. I mean, to see to those people, they're the blacks to them. If you're over in Mississippi or in Louisiana or here in Texas, they're lower class. But they're in Japan. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They found their family. And as that preacher said, he said, she may have been a Mexican, but she looked like my mama to me. When the family of God sees each other. The weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings, arguments, casting them down. We're not going to argue. We're going to love each other. We're the same family. Ain't got time to argue doctrine. We don't agree in doctrine. Fine. We don't agree. Hallelujah. But we do love Jesus. Yes. Believe the Bible. Yes. Well, let's talk about that. Casting down arguments or reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. What are these weapons of our warfare? What are the spiritual weapons? They're not carnal. Listen, nobody sees them. They don't see it. It's not a bullet. It's not a gun. It's not a cannon. What are they? Well, they're the Word of God. They're the name of Jesus. That means the authority, the power of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. These things release power. They release the weapons of God. Such as, what releases the power of God in our life? These weapons of our warfare. How about prayer? How about prayer? How about testimony? Do you ever give your testimony and have people get saved? You bet. Many of you could say that. That releases the power of God. Faith. Our faith in Jesus releases the power of God. Praising God releases the power of God. But not if you're praising Him in order to get Him to act, because then you're not praising Him. May I say that again? If you're praising God for the purpose of trying to get God to give you something or do something wonderful for you, then you're not praising Him. Praising God means you're praising Him just because He's God, whether you die or not, whether you get well or not, whether you lose your job or not. Otherwise, you're trying to coerce Him and bribe Him and wheedle Him and mind control Him. If I can only praise hard enough and long enough. Don't you understand what's wrong with the faith teachings? What we're saying is, if only I can believe, oh God, you're going to have to do it because I have got my faith up. Now you're not asking for grace. You're standing there in arrogance saying you deserve it and have earned it. You're asking to be rewarded on the basis of works. I have worked up my faith, so God, you've got to do it. How about preaching the gospel? Would you say that would release the power of God, unleash the power of God? Let me say this. Listen to me. The early church didn't preach like we preach. I've got to get something over to you. The emphasis in the church and the emphasis in your life must be, if we're going to proclaim the ministry of reconciliation, then we've got to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. and the kingdom. Not explain it, proclaim it. That's the trouble. We spend too much time trying to explain it to people that are lost. You don't explain it, you proclaim it. And then, beloved, it's believe it or perish. Just like Jesus himself said in Luke 13:3, repent or perish. No preacher in the Bible preaches like the sermons you hear today. You never hear any of those. They're taught, even the young men that go to seminary, they're taught to preach with just tactics of the world that have nothing. The early church never preached like preachers do today. They converted people by merely telling the stories of Jesus. They just told the stories. They didn't argue them. They just gave them. And when they told those stories, in other words, listen, a tremendous revival broke out sometime back when a young boy in a meeting got up and just opened his Bible and began to read out loud the Gospel of John. What I'm trying to get you to understand is when you tell the stories of Jesus or recite the scriptures, saving faith comes. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing, the kind of hearing we're talking about, that kind of hearing isn't physical hearing. It's spiritual hearing. It's not when it passes in one ear and out the other. It's when it really takes root inside them. And that kind of hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by some of the miserable sermons many of us have heard. You couldn't save a titmouse with some of those sermons. Gracious! Spend 15 minutes telling you what the world system, what the world situation is. Reading, I had a preacher that was lost, but a preacher over in Europe. He used to bring us messages from Pogo, the funny book, because may as well he didn't believe the Bible. Turn with me quickly to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Read with me, if you would, verses 14 through 20. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Did you see that? The whole family in heaven and earth. See, we're sons like their sons through the new birth. Once you listen, please understand that once it's all over, you'll be just as much a son as they are, because you'll be completely restored back to the original image, and you'll never use your will against God again. Therefore, you'll be just like them, and you'll never experience physical death. Therefore, you'll no longer be a little lower than the angels. You will be every bit as much sons as the created ones, exactly like them. Now, I want you to read the Bible and start noticing what those cats can do. That's your inheritance. Okay? Hallelujah. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now listen, Jesus is on the inside. So in this war that we're in, everything that is not light, Jesus, is darkness. Do you hear that? There is no gray. There's no demilitarized zone in this war. It's sin or it's not sin. It's of Jesus or it is not of Jesus. It is black or it is of the darkness or it is of the light. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. That's what we're doing tonight. We're trying to comprehend it. With all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled. Well, goodness, if it says that you may be filled, that would imply some of us aren't filled. Did you see that? You don't necessarily get filled when you get saved. Hopefully you will be like Cornelius, but you may not be. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Did you see that? According to the power that works in us. That's where our power is. That's where that is coming from. It's that power, the glory of God that's in us. Turn with me, beloved, though, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Because I want you to see that the scriptures are bearing out what we're talking about. I've been telling you you're surrounded by the kingdom of darkness. I've been telling you there's a spiritual war going on. That it isn't your wife, it isn't your mother, it isn't your boss, it isn't the Baptist, it isn't the Methodist. It isn't the Russians. Two families are at war. Two kingdoms are at war. And everyone in one kingdom belongs to the same family, and everyone in the other kingdom belongs to another family. And there's no gray. The attacks come from the outside, from the kingdom of darkness. Jesus is on the inside. He's your strength. He's the source of your power. Now look at chapter 2, verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians. Or rather, verse 18. Therefore, Paul says, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but, Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us? Well, Paul, you should understand the faith teaching. You should just bound him. I would have taken care of him. Now, don't tell me Paul didn't know about scriptures on binding. They'd already been written, spoken. He knew all about that. Something's wrong with the way they're teaching it. I'm always amazed. You go to a church and this preacher, he binds the devil. You go back there the next Sunday and he binds him again. Now, how'd that happen? Who unbound him in the meantime? What did that preacher do? Finish his sermon? Says, okay, Satan, I unbind you now. Now you do. Why did he unbind him? See, foolishness. Satan hindered us. The great apostle Paul was hindered by Satan. This is his kingdom. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. He's the prince of the power there. Satan has incredible power. Satan is more powerful than we are. Man was created an unfallen state, a little lower than the angels, but we are fallen creatures. We're not completely restored into the image of Christ. And Satan was once one of the most powerful, mightiest, greatest of the angels. He is more powerful than you and I. But he isn't. He is, if we try to defeat him, as people, as flesh. But remembering, as we've read in the scriptures, that Christ himself lives in us. And if we draw on the power of God, he cannot stand before us. Moreover, let me make you understand something. It doesn't just say that Satan hindered him. It says time and again. How many, would you read that? Would you read that and find it in that verse, verse 18? Time and again. Last week, Satan hindered us when that sound system wouldn't work. But God won. It was a hindrance. But we did get to use the sound system, and it worked. In your life, Satan has hindered you, but you've survived. You've eaten. You have jobs. If Satan could hinder the mighty Apostle Paul, and Satan, the scripture says, even tempted Jesus, what do you think is going to happen to you and to me in the kingdom of darkness, even though we're ambassadors of light? Sure, it's going to be war. And yes, you might, like a heavyweight championship fight for 15 rounds, you might lose round one, but don't get nervous. If you read the Bible, listen, it's like videotape. It's like that time I told you about the story that I saw the American hockey team, Olympic hockey team, play the Russians. And the Russians were far better. They could skate circles around our boys. Those same Russians had beaten the best professional hockey teams in America and Canada, claiming to be amateurs. But yes, they defeated all the best professional teams in America and in Canada, in the NHL. And now this bunch of college boys goes up there to play them. And the Russians could skate circles around our boys. But you know what happened? Now, I sat down to watch the game. But it was a replay. And that morning, I sat down sometime afternoon, and that morning, they flashed a sports bulletin. And I turned on to see what the weather was going to be like, to know how to dress that day. And the sports bulletin said, America wins 4-3. Great major upset. I sat down to watch that game. Now, if you had been there and you were really pulling for the Americans to beat the Russians,